We're going to study the book of Jude. Would you go to Jude? It has only one chapter. We're going to look at verses 14, 15, and 16. And Jude deals, though the word apostasy and the word apostate is not used in the text. May I remind you, when people mention apostasy, what they're talking about? They're talking about people who professed at one point Christ, and then they turned and started going the other way. And they may have done that by saying that I no longer believe, but more than likely they do that by turning what they said they once believed into something that it is not. You want me to illustrate that for you right out of the text? Look at verse 4 just a moment, which is not part of our passage tonight. Just look at it. There are certain men, that's people, men and women, crept in, talking about among the redeemed, unawares. You don't realize they've come in. They were before of old ordained to this particular condemnation, because we didn't know that. They were ungodly men, and here's what they did. Here's how you know they were ungodly. They turned the grace of our God. Now, you know what the grace of God is. That's the message of God's redemption toward us. They turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know what lasciviousness is? Lewdness, filth, corruption, and immorality. And they denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't necessarily deny him verbally. They denied him by the practice that they had of their lives. We've got in this hour, in this culture, a lot of apostasy taking place. Some of it is open and in your face, where people are actually saying, I no longer embrace the Christian faith. I am no longer a Christian. You've got many others who, if you will listen to them, you will find out that they have turned against the Word of God. Now, folks, you can't turn against God's Word and not turn against the God of the Word. And I could call names, and it would cause your hair to stand up. And the only reason it would is because you hadn't been listening to what takes place out in the church arena. Did you know we got one of the most prominent preachers in America who has suggested that we don't need the Old Testament? Folks, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed and come to reality. And to say that we don't need the Old Testament is to do away with the Ten Commandments and everything that's in it. Now, are we Old Testament Christians? No. We are New Testament Christians based on the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied that he was coming and is the fulfillment of all that the blood sacrifices and the promises that God made to the people of Israel. We find that fulfilled in Christ. And it's just amazing to me, thousands of people will go sit in auditoriums and either look at a preacher like me or watch him on a screen when all he is doing is leading people down a pathway that turns ultimately the grace of God into filth, immorality, and lasciviousness. That's exactly what he's talking about. Tonight we're picking up in verse 14. Would you look at it? Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And when he comes, verse 15 says, he's going to execute judgment upon all. And he'll come to convince all that are ungodly among them. What's he going to convince them of? Of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their own selfishness, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, simply because of advantage or personal advantage. Now, I'm going to let more scripture speak tonight than I normally have speak in one message, because I think the scriptures that I'm going to put on the screen for you are going to attest to these principles as clearly as anything I know of. So I would say tonight, what is the judgment of the apostates that he speaks of there? Number one, it is a special judgment at a specific time. And we know that because verse 14 says that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Folks, this is not something that happened not long ago or that was just talked about not long ago. This has been prophesied, so it's a special judgment. Look on your screen. Because he, that is God, has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness, or by righteousness, by the man whom he has ordained. Y'all know who that is, the man that God's ordained. His name, say his name with me, Jesus. Whereof he's given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. Who'd he raise from the dead? He raised Jesus from the dead. And he's appointed a day when he's going to judge them. So what verse 14 said about being prophesied, God's appointed a day. It's going to be a special judgment at a specific time. Number two, notice in verse 14, he prophesied saying, behold, the Lord cometh. So here's what we find, number two. The Lord cometh and will be the ultimate judge. The Lord's going to be the judge. It ain't going to be Buddha on the throne. It ain't going to be Brother Wayne on the throne. It's not going to be somebody else on the throne. It's going to be the Lord. And look at your screen, Hebrews 12. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. And in case Hebrews wasn't enough, look at Romans I give you. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and do the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, folks, no one is going to escape the judgment of God. And see, we'll see in a moment that God is going, there'll be a great division. When God passes judgment, it is always right, toward, based on righteousness. And that's why the Bible talks about in one spot that there'll be sheep on one hand and goat on the other. God knows, folks, who's who and who's doing what. There are all manner of secrets. I don't even want to say this, but it's so apropos to what takes place spiritually. Now, don't take my statement of this and get your mind running off in politics. But we recently, as well as months ago, that involved former President Trump, we have all this talk about classified documents, and nobody knows and who did this and how'd they get there and are they hidden. Folks, a lot of stuff in this life is hidden from men, but there's nothing in this life hidden from God. And the judgment is going to reveal every bit of that. Number three, judgment will be general and public. Verse 15 says, upon all. Notice, to execute judgment, what's the next two words? Upon all. So it's going to be a general judgment. It's going to be a public judgment. And here's what Matthew said. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. John said in the book of the Revelation these words, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation chapter 20. Folks, God's keeping books, and there's not an error in one of them, not a one. So the judgment's going to be general and public upon all. Number four, notice in verse 15, he says the Lord will execute, let's look at it good, execute judgment. Look at those two words, words two and three, to execute judgment. So the Lord will execute judgment upon all by Jesus Christ, to whom God has delegated his authority. Did you know God delegated his authority to Jesus? Jesus said, all authority is mine in heaven and in earth. And here's what John said in the fifth chapter of his gospel. For the Father judges no man. Let's pause there a moment. Do you see that on your screen? For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. And for a person to tell you, I love God, I believe in God, and I'm for God, but I don't have nothing to do with Jesus, that person is as off out in left field as one can be. John said again in his gospel, and hath given him, speaking of Jesus, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Number five, notice in verse 15, the text reads these words when I tell you God's judgment is intended to, quote, look at 15, convince all that are ungodly to repent. Now, folks, that's why he's convicting these people. They're supposed to repent. What do you think conviction is for? It's to convict you by the Spirit of God through your conscience. Your conscience testifying to either accuse you or excuse you, and God's judgment is seeking to convince the ungodly that God calls all men everywhere to repent. Matthew 10 reads this way, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Greatest things ever happened to you and me is have the conviction of God in our heart that we need to get right with God. You ought to praise God for the day you came to be saved. Thank God for conviction. Did you know if there hadn't been conviction, you'd have never been saved? It wasn't, folks, an academic exercise. It was a spiritual exercise where God, the Holy Spirit, was convicting your spirit of your lost condition. Number six, in verse 15, notice the phrase I'm going to use when I say that judgment affirms the, quote, hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, folks, if I have a hard speech that speaks as an ungodly sinner against him, to speak against him, do you know what that's tantamount to? To speak against him is to speak against his word. And, folks, you can't speak against him and not speak against his word, and you can't speak against his word and not speak against him. Here's what he said as in 2 Thessalonians, that when he comes, quote, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking here not about saved people, but about apostates who are lost people, and we're talking about all lost people who cease and do not, and who do refuse to repent. Saved people do not face the judgment of an apostate. Saved people are in the ark of God, and that Old Testament ark that floated during the judgment of God, the New Testament ark is Jesus Christ. If you'd have been in that ark of the Old Testament, the storm would not have destroyed you. And folks, when the wrath of God falls, if you're in the ark of Christ, you are as protected in him as they were in the old. Somebody say hallelujah for that. This is the seventh and final one. In verse 15, when he makes the statement, the sentence of God's judgment, think about it. He is, verse 15 says, convincing all that are ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. There's hard speeches. Notice that word again. Ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So the sentence of God's judgment, what's God's judgment going to be against those who are, verse 15, ungodly? They've done ungodly deeds. They've committed ungodly deeds. They've spoken ungodly against the Lord. Folks, the sentence of judgment against those who've never repented is the sentence of eternal hell. Now, tonight, there will be something that we say amen to, and that is heaven is eternal. Can we have an amen there? But to the vexation of our hearts toward those we care something about is that hell is eternal. Now, I don't know that tonight as I stand before you that it's already on the calendar, but let me tell you something you're going to be hearing a little something about, and it's not massive in this regard that it's going to be cataclysmic, but we hope it's cataclysmic in some lives of lost people. When we get into a pandemic and everything has to shut down, I mean, tell you folks, I talked to a pastor today that I'm supposed to preach in a Bible conference for next month for one night, and I said, Pastor, I need to know the burden of your heart. I'm praying already, as you would expect, And he said, Pastor, it's just like when COVID hit. And, of course, they're a large church up in the Atlanta area. He said, it's like when COVID hit. Our folks just absolutely, I said, came down with spiritual COVID. He said, yeah. They don't seem to be motivated any longer. Well, let me tell you what at least this church is going to do. We're going to start an outreach program. And here's the way it's going to work. Unless somebody forces us to come in their house, we're not going in their houses. We're going to go and knock on their door and say, I'm from the Morningside Baptist Church, and we're trying to get the gospel out through this little printed material. And if you don't have a church home, man, we want you to come. Would you just take that and read it, and we'll say a prayer for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And be on our way to the next door. You say, well, Pastor, that ain't much. It's a whole lot more than we're doing right now. And it's a whole lot more than talking to my pastor friend today that many of the others do it. It's just like we've lost motivation. And folks, if anything should motivate us, are you listening to me? It ought to be that there is a hell that's going to grip people forever and ever and ever and ever. I read a statement this week. William Booth, does that name ring a bell? Founder of the Salvation Army. William Booth said most organizations want to send their soldiers 5 years in the Bible college. He said, I want to send mine 5 minutes into hell. That's all the education and motivation they'll need to come back and do what they ought to do. Folks, if any one of us had 5 minutes, not to go to hell, but if somehow the curtain could be lifted back and the doors open to feel the heat and to see the and smell the stench and to see the horror of it, you'd have all the motivation you need. Folks, in this hour, hell is not very popular. And if we'll leave something along long enough, then somehow it will lose its strength and its importance. Well, folks, prior to the pandemic, people that died outside of Christ went to hell. During the pandemic, people that died without Christ went to hell. Tonight, people that die without Christ go to hell. And Christ still has one plan, and that's you and me to make some effort to go knock on a door and tell somebody that we're praying for our community. We don't know you by name, but we're praying for all of our citizens, and you're one of them, and may God bless you. And I'm going to leave this with you as a witness, and contact information will be there. If they want to tune in and watch us online, praise God. I never did want to see a church, just, you know, a lot of you, when I say you, I don't know that any of you did, but a lot of people in this church said to me in the weeks when we wasn't none coming to church, Pastor, it sure does feel good to get up and in my pajamas, sit on the couch and watch you preach. And I laughed with that. I understand the nature of that. But folks, it don't feel good to God when we can get up and go everywhere else and we don't get up and go to his house and do whatever we are physically able to do. You say, Pastor, I don't have any longer the mobility and strength to go door to door. Well, let me ask you something. Can you drive a car and take some of the rest of us and we'll get out and do it? Can you do that? Could you possibly come on premise while we're going out and be a part of a prayer meeting? Said, dear God, while our folks are out there, would you let heaven fall at every door, every household? The folks, last time I checked, God ordained prayer. He called us to pray. He said, you have not because you ask not, and he still wants us to pray. Did I hear an amen? Or did I hear an oh me? So I'm going to say it one more time. The sentence of God's judgment is eternal hell. And the judgment is there, and the sentence is there, not because God enjoys sending people to hell, but because people in unrepentance say, God, you leave me alone. That's what lack of repentance is. I don't want to repent. I don't want you in my life. That's what lack of repentance is. Notice again in John 5 on your screen, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Did you know there'll be a resurrection to damnation? You see, folks, people that have died without Jesus have gone to the place called Hades, and there will come a day at the resurrection of the damnation. Those who previously died, just like those who have previously died and gone to paradise, we call it heaven, is going to be reunited, their spirit will be with a glorified body. These are going to come smoldering with some type of corruptible body before the throne of God, and there them books is going to be opened of their ungodly deeds and their ungodly speeches and their ungodly works, and from that judgment they will be sent to a place where nobody is tonight, called Gehenna. Sadly, King James calls Gehenna, H-E-L-L, and it calls Hades, H-E-L-L. And you don't know sometimes when you're reading the word H-E-L-L, is it Gehenna or is it Hades? But then people will be consigned from that judgment to the lake of fire, and there'll never be a vacation from that ever again. Notice these words from Revelation. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Folks, who are some of those in that army? I know who they are. I'm looking at some of them. And the prophet Zechariah said, and I conclude with this verse, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. Folks, there's an eternity's difference in being saved and lost. There's an eternity's difference in what's coming by way of judgment in terms of lost people. God's going to pass judgment on me and you at the judgment seat of Christ. But you know what's being judged there? The quality of works we've done. But our soul is not in question, because we have been saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus. I don't want to live like an apostate. I don't want to be an apostate. I want to live like a born-again child of God. Don't you? Let's pray together. Precious Father, on this Wednesday evening, may we understand that the hour where we are watching many who once embraced truth, they are now turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, immorality, lewdness, corruption, filth. May we hold with precious hands and hearts the true gospel. May it be as Joy and Elaine sang a moment ago, that he is the one that we praise. He is the one that we long for. May the love of Christ Jesus be spread abroad in our hearts. And may it be that love for which you have loved us is now become reciprocated from our hearts back to you, that your goodness has led us afresh to repentance. And in that you have given your all for us, we want to give all that we know to give back to you in love, devotion. Not ungodly deeds, but godly deeds. Not in any way anything ungodly, but godly. Not hard speeches, but edifying speeches about the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this people tonight, and I pray you'll bless them, and I pray you will extend our witness across this community. And Lord, if it wasn't for the power and presence of your Spirit, we don't have one influence that we can bring to bear on anyone. But because we are indwelt by you, you can use us as instruments, and we pray that you will. Be at work, please, in this community, in the lives of our neighbors and friends, up and down our subdivisions and in and out of our homes. And may it be that as we go forth day by day, there will be a ringing passion in our hearts that we will want to do all we can to touch somebody's life with the love of Christ as you have touched us. Bless your people now. Save anybody tonight that's lost, and have your way in every heart. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Would you stand with your pastor? Brother John leads us.